First John chapter 3 contains a passage I'd like for us to read for our consideration tonight, and I encourage you to turn to that. First John chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading in about verse number 11. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we who believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This passage speaks of the love the brothers should have one for another. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1, the apostle there writes, let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter 3, and verse number 8, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Scripture after scripture in God's word speaks of the love that we are to have one for another, and how important that love is one for another. I guess that some of the best sermons I have ever preached have been sermons that have been borrowed. This one tonight, in a sense, is borrowed right here from the Apostle John, as we look at these verses that he has here on love. Would you bow with me in prayer before we continue? Loving Father, we would approach thy throne at this time with thanksgiving and praise and honor, giving unto you, recognizing that we depend upon thee for all things. And asking, Father, that now at this time you be with us as we study thy word together. Bless us that we might understand in a small measure the truth that John writes here of the importance of our love one for another. We ask that you'll forgive us of our sins. Help us, Father, in all we do and say we might glorify thee. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. You may be considered and count yourself a member of the Lord's body. And you may have gone through all of the steps necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. You may fulfill many other things that he has instructed in regards to worship, singing, prayer, giving of our means. You may be here at every assembly of the church. You might even be a worker in the Lord's kingdom, working and doing visitation, teaching a class, elder, deacon, preacher, song leader. But this passage points out something that is very critical in regards to being a Christian, perhaps beyond all of these things. One can do all of such things and yet hold malice in his heart against his brother. And this passage says that we are lost if we do so. That if we hate our brother, or we hold that type of malice toward our brother, that we are the same as a murderer. And he says no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Yeah, we might say we're in the light. We might say we're a faithful Christian. We might be trying to teach others and bring others even into the kingdom of God. But this passage makes it plain that if we are doing that and we still have hate in our hearts for our brother, he says we are still in darkness. And it's just explained in the first chapter that God is light and there is no darkness in him. Darkness stands for evil, for that which is wrong, for that which is destroys, the wickedness. And so the one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness. He carries on in verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. One who hates his brother, even though he says he's in the light, he's in darkness. And he says that that darkness can blind our eyes. We do not know where we're going. You know, sometimes we speak of how hate in a person's heart can affect a person's reasoning, can't it? Where he can't even see straight, we see. That's the terminology we use sometimes in reference to a person who is controlled by hate. Well, this passage says that when we have hate, we have darkness within, and the darkness blinds our eyes. I don't know how many times I have seen these very truths evident within those who claim to be members of the Lord's body. How many churches have been split because of a lack of hate, the lack of love, because of hate that was in the hearts of individuals. People not even speaking to one another. As I've told you before, I preached to the congregation one time where the one group sat on this side and another group sat on the other side, and they hardly spoke. That we finally got that situation straightened out. We thank the Lord for that. But other times, churches have divided, new congregations been started because of hate or malice or envy, jealousy between brethren. Known of churches to split over what color to plank the walls in the auditorium. And brethren come to points of being ready to fight one another in business meetings of the church, where the disagreement comes about over how to do the Lord's work, where to build a building, or what type of building to build, or what type of pews to put in the auditorium. This is very strong language here. When he speaks about the fact that when there is hate and such evil within our hearts toward our brothers, that we're in darkness, we are blinded. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Here's the standard of forgiveness that we must exercise toward one another. Here's the standard by which regarding the attitude that we should have toward one another. It should be put into effect in our lives the same attitude that was in Christ. When it comes to relationships one with another, then we need to follow his pattern. He stood ready to forgive any and all, didn't he? He practiced this kindness and tenderheartedness, forgiving one for another. That's the standard, just as God has forgiven us, even though we were his enemies. even though we had rebelled against him, he still took and initiated the steps by which we were to be forgiven. He didn't stand waiting for us to come to him because we had sinned. So many times, some of these things could be applied to family situations. You know that husbands and wives, sometimes husbands and wives have a little spat or something, and we each go in a huff. Well, she did it, She's the one that's done which is wrong. Why should I bother? She's the one that's got to come around, or he's the one that's done it. God didn't take that attitude. He sought that we might be reconciled to him, even though he had done nothing wrong. Sinless. We were the ones that had rebelled against him. We were the ones that had sinned, and yet he took the initiative and he made the sacrifice by which we might be reconciled. I think husbands need to recognize as head of our families, and we need to take the lead in such matters that there might be reconciliation when there's a disagreement between husband and wife. Of course, maybe that doesn't apply to any of you, and you don't need any admonition along that line. Maybe I'm just confessing our own shortcomings there, okay? But here's the standard. As God in Christ also forgave you. 1 John 4 and verse number 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother, that he is a liar. Now again, that's strong language, isn't it? Someone that says, I hate my brother, or I love God, but yet there's hate in his heart for his brother, he says he's a liar. John doesn't make any ifs and ands about it. But he explains it this way. He says, for he that does not love his brother who he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Isn't that brother made in the image of God? Yet you've seen the brother. And you claim to love the one in whose image he is made, even though you haven't seen him? John says that can't be. We're each and every one made in the image of God. Where's the end of liars going to be? He says that's what they are. Revelation makes it very plain that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. 1 John 3 and verse number 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. God is in this same context that we read for our text there. It's pointed out that God will not hear the prayers of one who hates his brother. This is in that same context. Verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then he says, and this is his commandment, that we who believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ, we love one another as he has commanded. His commandment is that we love one another, but he says if we don't do that which is pleasing in his sight, he's not going to hear our prayers. We're separated from God if we harbor hate and envy or bitterness and wrath toward our brother or sister in Christ, and God is not going to hear our prayers. What does that tell us we need to do? Needs to be some restoration made, doesn't it? We can't, have you ever picked up a telephone when it was dead? Tried to talk to somebody, make a call, talk to somebody on the other end? Don't get very far, do you? Do not get any further whenever there is hate and envy in our hearts and try to talk to God. It's like trying to use that telephone that's dead and disconnected. Brotherly love is so important. Let me just make a few points here that points out to me how important it is. First, in a sense, it's the heart of Christianity. It's a very basic thing. As he's pointed out here in 1 John 4 and verse number 20, that if we claim to love God and hate our brother, then we're a liar. We're in darkness, and darkness has blinded us. So it's very basic. It's the heart of the matter. In fact, the second commandment, the first was to love God, but the second was love thy neighbor as thyself. That one dealt with the love we should have one toward another, shouldn't it? And so it's very basic. Love is the basis of Christianity. God so loved, John 3:16 says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved that he gave. There's the foundation of Christianity. Christianity is established, it's based upon the giving of God and the giving of Jesus Christ, who gave his life. Ephesians 5 and verses 1 and 2 says, therefore be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. So we're to follow him. Now here's Christianity is based upon the love of God and giving his Son, and the love of Jesus Christ and giving his life. And we're exhorted to be followers in the same way. Christianity is perpetuated by that same brotherly love. So brotherly love is the heart of Christianity. Brotherly love is a badge of Christianity. You know, sometimes secret orders or organizations have badges that they wear, identify them a member of that particular group, of that particular organization. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the type of love he's talking about is spelled out there. It's the love that he had for us. If we love one another with the same love that he had for us, being willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. He says there in 1 John 3:16, here's the way we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, that we practice that type of love. Then he says, all the world, by this all the world will know that you are my disciples. The type of love that Jesus showed us was not a type of love that just overlooked and forgave any and ever fault or whatever. It sought to do that which was best for people. It sought to bring people out of sin. It sought to lift people up, not just to overlook. We're to be willing to make that type of sacrifice and love for others. So brother love is a badge of Christianity. Thirdly, well, somebody has said love is the 11th commandment. I don't really like to think of it that way. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. This is it's new. It's new. It's basic to Christianity in the sense that he demonstrated this love to us. We're to love one another as he has loved us. But also, brotherly love is the hope of Christianity. It's by brotherly love that Christianity is perpetuated, that it continues on. He didn't say, love your brother with all of your heart and just treat him however you like, forgive him any and everything, overlook all sin in him. That's not what he said. You see, love fulfills the law. Brotherly, loving one another, loving of our brothers and sisters in Christ, fulfills the law. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8. So it's the hope of Christianity. Then love is the only debt we can never pay. Again, in Romans 13 and verse number 8, the Apostle Paul said there, owe no man anything but to love one another. I owe a debt to every brother and sister in Christ. You owe a debt to every brother and sister in Christ. That is a debt of love. You can never pay that debt. We will always be in debt to one another. I can't show enough love toward you. You cannot show enough love toward any other brother or sister. We will always be in debt when it comes to the showing of love one to another. That brother does not have to be worthy of our love. He doesn't have to earn our love. We already owe it to him to such an extent that we can never pay it. Love of our brother is our debt today, and tomorrow it will still be that debt. And then love has a warming influence. Love will draw people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The love that he had within his heart drew people to him. The love that he showed in sacrificing himself draws people to him. Love is sort of like a magnet that it will draw people. This congregation will draw people because of the love that is here. Many people have felt and experienced the love that's within this congregation. And we praise God for that love which is there. That's the love that will draw people. Love is so important. We're instructed out of love to bear one another's burdens. We're instructed out of love to serve one another. Galatians chapter 5 verses 13 and 14 speaks of the fact that we have been called into freedom or into liberty, made free by the blood of Jesus Christ, set free from being a slave to Satan, set free from sin. But he says, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't take that to mean you can just live however you want to or do whatever you want to, but rather what should we do? But through love, serve one another. We're to imitate the love that God had for us. We're to imitate the love that Christ had for us. That love led them to serve us, to do that for our eternal good and our eternal salvation. How important it is that we learn to live together in love. You know, I remember when I was a very small boy sitting in the pew, hearing Brother Lawrence Williams, who's now gone on to his reward, say it many times, brethren, if we cannot live together here upon this earth, we'll never enjoy heaven. We'll never be able to live together there. How can we live together there if we can't live together here upon this earth? And how true that is. We don't enjoy being together now. How do we think we'll ever enjoy being together in heaven? Tradition says of the Apostle John when he became very old. He was too old to preach very much, but they would carry him from one place to another just for his encouraging, uplifting presence. And the one thing he repeated and many times spoke to one another, to other people in tears, was, little children, love one another. How important that it is. If you're tonight or out of Christ, think of the love that he has for you. I would direct you to that. He gave his life to die for you, that you might have the hope of eternal life. Sacrificed himself because he knew the eternal ruin awaiting those that were lost. Mankind without any hope, without any hope of salvation. Jesus knew how bad hell was going to be. And he suffered and died upon that cross out of love so you would not have to spend eternity in that place. I don't want to go there. Don't believe you want to either. Are you living in a manner acceptable unto him, living according to his will? Or if you're not a Christian this night, we exhort you to obey the gospel and respond to the invitation while we stand now and while we sing.
So I may you linger, wandering from the fold of God. Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Care the soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad judgment, and prepare to meet thy God. Why, so thoughtless are you standing, while the fleeting years go by, and your life is spent in folly. Oh, prepare to meet the God. Care a soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, and prepare to meet the God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition and prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, and prepare to meet thy God.
If you would at this time please pass your attendance cards to the center also that might be collected this time. Please turn to page 678. 678. After the song, Brother Don Feast will lead us in our closing prayer.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safe and o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be.